two guys and one movie. It's not always good. They don't always agree. But when they do, rest assured, it's a good fucking movie. This is the Wham Bam Movie Jam.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the podcast. Is it a podcast since we have video?
The vlog? I don't know.
The show. Welcome to the show.
It's the show.
Yeah.
If it's released, then we thought it was okay.
We thought it was good enough.
We might be wrong.
Yeah, you can tell us in the comments. I'm Dr. D-Pad on, Dr. D-Pad's network on Twitch. With me as my co-host, I'm joined by Punch Dickens today. Yeah.
Hi, great dude. Thanks, Dr. D-Pad. I'm happy to be here.
I'm happy to have you. We're live to the internet.
Whoa.
I know, right?
The internet. I mean,
crazy.
It's all so much to take in.
I know, right?
Okay.
We skipped YouTube, essentially went straight to Twitch.
Okay.
So what did we watch this week?
We watched Bill and Ted Face the Music.
Bill and Ted. Ooh. All right.
25 years ago, you played a concert in front of the entire world. 1 month ago, you played in Barstow, California for 40 people, most of whom were there for $2 taco night. We're supposed to unite the world and save reality as we know it.
Bill, we've spent our whole life trying to write the song that will unite the world. Why can't we just go to the future when we have written it?
Whoa! Take it from ourselves!
But isn't that stealing?
Bill and Ted, what have you got to say for yourselves?
Be excellent to each other. And party on, dudes!
Yeah, the third Bill and Ted movie that came out after 20 years.
20-something years. I remember watching Bill and Ted 1 and 2, like, growing up as a kid, and literally going in the gym class with my buddy at, like, elementary school.
Yep.
Oh, we're old. Man.
Old alert.
And yeah.
It's one of those movies that, I don't know, I don't think anyone ever thought it would be made. Everyone talked about it being made.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden they said, this is the right time.
Yeah.
Let's make a Bill and Ted sequel. And you know what? It was.
And it was good. And Keanu got on board, which that was the biggest thing, is will you get Keanu on board? You know, Alex Winter, I don't want to say he needs the work, not to sound like a dick, but he's more available than John Wick, Neo, insert major science fiction franchise here,
That's right.
Like, yeah, they got them back, and it works!
It works really great because...
Spoilers!
It's great because it takes place 20 years after the second movie, and Bill and Ted, who were saving the world with a song, are living kind of a sad existence, right?
Yes. It's they haven't quite aspired to the rock stars Rufus said they're going to be in the previous movies.
It's kind of watching Bill and Ted facing the music. That's really facing the fact that they've become nothing, that they never achieved the goals ever set out for them, and really everyone considers them a failure.
Yeah.
And it's them just kind of having to come to that realization that it's true.
It's
that
true.
They did fail.
And now you have to do something about it or never happen, right?
I think that's what made it really work, is that now you have Keanu and Winters playing these characters who are just like, they didn't change the character at all. It's like they didn't grow, they didn't do anything. It's still Bill and Ted, but now it's Bill and Ted played by old men. And big part of this is, in the future, Bill and Ted, now they have kids.
Now they have kids, yes. I admittedly don't know the name of... Actually, it's kind of sad. I can't keep Bill and Ted straight as characters, to be honest with you.
Ted is Keanu, and Bill is...
Bill is Alex Winter,
Alex
right?
Winters, yeah.
Okay, so Bill's kid is played by Samara Weaving. I know that because I'm a big fan of The Babysitter 1 and 2, which she's the lead of, so I know... But I don't know. I know she has, like... I want to say she has HBO shows, but the one that played... Keanu Reeves' kid. I don't know her name. The dark-haired one. But she did phenomenal work. Phenomenal work. I like the work Samara Weaving, but... Yeah.
Now, is that Hugo Weaving's daughter?
I would have to look that up, to be perfectly honest with you. We'll take a look.
Good question.
That'd be a good one. But they play the roles well, and, like, I think when we were watching it, you even said that it looked like their research was for the role, was they just watched the movie and did their best Keanu Reeves Bill impression, or their best Bill and Ted impressions, right?
No, it's like, play these characters. And they did a pretty funny job. And, you know, it was great because you got to see they're identical to what we watched all those years ago, and it's the exact same character. Just a couple of, like, you know, stoner, they never established, right? The stoners.
Yeah.
They carry a plot point where they're traveling through time, gathering historical figures. Just like the first
Bill and Ted, essentially. Yeah. It's like they're doing the original mission while Bill and Ted are off doing the Bill and Ted thing, which is don't write the song, go steal it from yourselves. Yeah. Like, the most Bill and Ted thing to do is go steal it from yourselves.
Yeah, and in those time traveling, they're experiencing their evil others.
Evil other usses, right? Yeah. Evil other usses. Yeah. That's right.
And so it's kind of funny that for the sequel, the third movie, they just took the plot points of the first movie and the second movie, and they crammed them together. Speaking of previous movies, it's great that they were able to bring death into this movie.
Yes, and not just death, they actually brought somewhat more of
A lot of people died this time.
Yes, a lot of people died, and it's very...
They're all blasted by a robot from the future.
Named Dennis Caleb McCoy. Yeah,
which we'll get to.
We'll get to him. He's his own kind of side story that happens.
So everyone gets blasted by him, like, fried. They burn up.
Yep, disappear.
And it's kind of interesting, because when they came back to life with the help of the Grim Reaper, they were still in their old bodies.
Yes.
Because remember, Bill even picked a maggot.
They had corpses, right?
So these people were turned into ash.
Yes.
So how did they come back?
How did they have a corporeal body to be returned to, right? Interesting.
Yeah.
But Death, we know, does have power. He has the power to return people to life if you beat him in three games will cheat profusely at.
Yeah.
And if you sink his battleship, though, you'll get him. But it brings him to hell, which is a convenient excuse to recruit Death.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's...
And trying to get Death back in the band, but they're all ex-bandmates together It's like they're trying to get the Beatles back together, or trying to get...
Any band that's been feuding have, like, butt heads at some point, and Guns N' Roses.
Exactly.
Or,
it's like trying to get it's a perfect example, right? Trying to get Axl Rose and...
Slash
back together.
Yeah.
And... Just like the Guns N' Roses, the aforementioned Death and the Wild Stallions get back together in this movie.
Yeah.
Yep. And it's a fantastic reunion.
Lots of musicians in the movie. You know, some are played well. Your biggest one is probably Jimi Hendrix.
I feel like we're all over the place.
Yeah, we are, but we still got flow.
The musicians, the daughter's plot point is, instead of the historical figures, they're getting famous musicians. Like Jimi Hendrix,
Louis Armstrong.
They got Mozart.
And
but the one you had a problem with, the one that didn't seem to fit.
Yes, Mr. Kid Cudi. He can talk well about time travel, but it's just, I'm gonna sound like a dick, but last time Kid Cudi was relevant, at least a decade ago, like, really relevant.
They kind of, like, mention that too, where they say,
You're not a historical figure? Well, like, I am now.
Yeah.
Like, you know, because you've been moralizing Bill and Ted, but it's still... Yeah.
But he kind of makes a joke, he's not a historical figure, he's like, I'm not famous, you know, but also, like... He didn't even really do much for the music, right?
No. He literally had one hype line, and then he was disappeared. Like, granted, he wasn't brought back by Bill and Ted, so, you know, he was part of the time travel phenomenon popping up. But it's still, if you're about to pop away at any given moment, at least give us more than, yo, make some noise, raise your hand. Mm-hmm. Like, drop a Kid Cudi verse. Like, we know you can do it.
Yeah.
You know, and like even you said, like Kanye West would have been more fitting, would have been more, I don't know about more comedic, but the present now, like pop culture.
I felt like it needed to be, if you're going to get someone from the present, like pop culture, get someone really big.
Get big, chirpy Kanye with like his big butt wife, like absolutely, 100%.
And you know, if you couldn't get Kanye, then you just kind of like, you settle for someone who probably will and get to like Justin Timberlake, you know? Like,
yeah.
He can pop in and.
Yeah, and Timberlake can do comedy. Yeah. He's proven he can do comedy.
I guess if you're going to get Timberlake, why not get Kid Cudi?
Yeah, it's true. It's the same.
It's a tough one. It just felt out of place and not to his fault, right?
No. Yeah, it has nothing to do with Kid Cudi. Like, it's absolutely no. It just feels through the giant pot of talent they could have pulled from. Not saying Kid Cudi's not talented. It's just, it was an odd pick. It was an odd pick, which I assume someone on board's a fan of Kid Cudi.
Yeah, or they said, hey, man, you know, maybe he was a big fan of Bill and Ted.
He could have been, it's
and really like, helped get the movie off the ground.
Yeah, and like, hey, get me this role. I don't care if it's a small part.
Yeah,
like,
and so we don't really know why. I think just in general, someone modern seemed out of place because of that reason. Because it was like...
A little too modern, not hype enough or huge enough.
The furthest back you're going to go are like Louis Armstrong or like the nearest to the future. Louis Armstrong and Jimi Hendrix. It's like, just don't... come back with anything.
Yeah, no.
That,
stay
know?
There. Like, yeah. Have like Jim Morrison or someone pop out of like, you know, and another impersonator. Doesn't have to be
exactly.
a real life living modern musician. But
it made sense because they were being brought together to build the song to save the world, the one that Bill and Ted were supposed to do previously. But now it's not only going to unite the world; it's going to save space time reality.
Yes. It's not just the future. You're saving the base and fabric of reality as we know it. It's a nice little spin, and even their dad in the movie is like, oh, so now we're not just time traveling anymore? This is new, right? This is new. Like, it's new.
They did add the new character who's the robot.
Yes.
Dennis Caleb McCoy.
He's kind of like the riff on Station, like the Station of this movie, or even Death. He's essentially this movie's Death, but Death is in this movie as well.
Yeah,
like,
you need that like really comedic point of the...
That comedic odd character that's just, you know, shouldn't be there, but he's there and he seems to work. And sadly enough, Dennis Caleb McCoy works. Like, he's not supposed to be there. He's ridiculous.
It's so unexpected.
But he works.
Yeah, he's just a weird character there. Goes from, like, unstoppable, like...
Killing Terminator.
Yeah,
he's essentially a Terminator.
From the future who can time travel at will. And then... just kind of becomes Dennis Caleb McCoy.
And he's like almost like a bumbling idiot, but not. Yeah. He's just that awkward tag-along he becomes, like,
and
right?
No one really understands.
No.
You know, don't know why he's here. It shouldn't be possible, but there he is.
It's he's there, like, pops up, disintegrates a few people, has a shock look, oh, shit, that wasn't them.
Mistakes were made. Very, very funny. So that was a really funny part of the movie. Like, the whole movie itself is pretty funny.
Yeah, and it works.
And I think it's because what they did was say, okay, we're making a friggin' Bill and Ted sequel. It's like, let's just kind of, let's look real at this. It's like, this is Bill and Ted 20 years in the future. So you've got, like, sad reality, but they still have their, like, ridiculous adventures because they're still, like, the airheaded teenagers.
100%.
The whole time.
They're adults, and they just happen to have kids now, and it's,
But from there, they got, like, just really weird characters and funny... just pretty good dialogue and really good casting and all the side characters that surround them. Like, all the supporting cast is just hilarious. Like,
yeah,
very 100%. Funny people delivering funny lines.
Yeah, the end scene, they, you know, it's we won't give it totally away.
But it
wraps up nicely. Like, it's, you know, it's the best possible outcome you could, given the circumstances. Yeah.
Bill and Ted save the universe.
It's not hokey, it's not cheesy, it's not overdone. It's like, for the movie of Bill and Ted, this works.
It is a little bit better than, you know, the speech to the future, like, be excellent to each other and all that.
And I like it more than the ending of Bill and Ted 2. It feels like it fits more than, oh, they came back from the future and they're super good musicians
with their
babies on their back. Now let's play a
solo. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Like, it works, but
they went and trained for...
Yeah.
They entered into the Bill and Ted universe hyperbolic chamber.
Essentially, to
train for a certain amount of time, So it's kind of fun that the way this one ends and how everything's brought together. Something else we didn't mention before, but, like, the future, right?
Yeah.
So you see more of, like, the people from the future and who originally had contacted Bill and Ted. And it's pretty funny there too. You know, once again, you know, they're disappointed because they're failing and they're trying to protect the timeline and stop a anomaly of space-time. And I thought that was a nice touch too, that you got to see a little bit more of that, of what the future's like.
A nice shout out to George Carlin, even though he couldn't, you know, he's passed away, couldn't be there, but they pay him his dues. And
I feel like there's so much to talk about, like talking about, like, Kristen Schaal is...
She did a good job of Rufus's daughter, essentially.
Rufus's daughter and coming back to help them. And she's a, you know, another funny supporting character who's a funny actress.
The casting's really good, actually, for, like, the little the bit parts they managed to get and, like, the comedians they managed to bring in to play them. And they just, the people they bring do such a good job of it. Like,
Jillian Bell.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Like, she's perfect. Like, perfect in that role and, like, plays the marriage counselor perfectly. Yeah. And, like, absolutely.
Funny. And now, it's time to grade this movie on a scale of 1 to 10. 1 being an absolute pile of garbage that you probably shouldn't waste your time or money with. And a 10 being the orgasm that your brain sears have waited so long for. And you should probably run out right now and see it immediately. Are you ready?
So what did you think of the movie?
I really enjoyed it. Maybe a little bit of bias, because, like I said, clearly I grew up with the film a little bit. But, you know, I'm going to give it, out of 10, I'm going to give Bill and Ted Face the Music, you know, I'm going to give it a solid 7. It was a fun movie. It was more like, it was well past that halfway mark of a 5. And they did enough that they passed the 6. I'm gonna give them 7. No integers, just, you know, it's fun. It's,
yeah,
it's no Avengers Infinity War. It's, you know, it's got holes like Endgame, but it's fun. It's, yeah, no 3-hour adventure. I enjoyed it. That's, yeah, 7. 100% solid 7 for, yeah, Bill and Ted Face the Music. How about yourself?
I'm giving it a 7.5.
Oh, that's
good. Same thing. Like, I think it's just a fun movie, and for a sequel being made so long after the original,
yeah,
I think they did a really good job of just, like, not falling into the trappings of those other failed.
More stuff could have gone wrong than, yeah, they actually, yeah, ended up going,
I think,
right.
They took themselves seriously and just made it as a fun project.
Yeah.
And so I really like it. So 7.5 for movies, but if I'm going to rate it as, like, how do I feel they did, like, for that sequel, is my expectation
for the fan. For within the Bill and Ted franchise.
Yeah, and I say, like, you know, it's 10 out of 10 for me. Because,
yeah, no, that's fair.
I had no expectations going into,
yes,
it, and I'm like, how are they going to not become an Anchorman 2, right?
Perfect.
And you know what? They did a great, like, great job on it. Just, yeah, by just changing it a little bit and just taking it seriously.
Yeah, little bits here. Make, yeah, fun of yourself when you can.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly it. It was so self-deprecating,
yeah,
that it was really funny. And, like, for guys who are so much further in life from that, yeah, point, I think that was a really good job.
Yeah, like the robot in hell when the two, yeah, demons are like, it's a robot in hell.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, clear, they're aware,
nice,
of
it. Some nice dry humor to it, where,
yeah,
no one believes that they went through time and saved and united the world, and, like, they never made that song because they still haven't done it. So,
yeah,
it's really hilarious in that sense that, yeah, these losers, after 20 years, here they are, still trying to write that one song.
Still,
right,
trying to get it, yeah, yeah. Now it's in somebody else's hand,
and,
right?
Yeah, so that was a really long ramble for us on a rating scale. So,
yeah,
7.5, Bill and Ted rating, 10 out of 10.
100%. 100%. And you know what? If you got Instagram, follow our Instagram account. We're currently going through a redo and a reformat, but you can find us, yep, at the Wham Bam Movie Jam on Instagram. If you like this, hit subscribe. I don't know where it is in here, but Dr. D-Pad, I play video games. We do critics. We got some other stuff coming. So, yeah, if you like what you saw or you want to see some more stuff, hit subscribe. And thanks for tuning in. The audio versions of this is on Podmatic. You can find us with Wham Bam Movie Jam, the audio version of this, or download any of the apps. You can also find my video game account on Instagram at Dr. D-Pad Chopra. So, you got lots of ways to find us.
Yeah.
And do it. Pick one of them. And
Social media. Do it all.
Yeah. Find us on Facebook. Yeah. Look for us. And thanks for tuning in.
Yeah. And if you pay enough, you'll get Dr. D-Pad's OnlyFans. And we'll...
Yeah, exactly. And you can see some weird shit with some edible gummy worms, man. Yeah. Well, thanks for tuning in.
See ya.
Bye.